Right now, everyone's talking about AI and robotic stocks and stuff like that. But if you can find the stocks that are kind of behind it or maybe not where everyone's looking, there's a lot of times a lot of opportunity there.
I'm your host, Jason Raznick, founder of Benzinga, a leading platform in the financial world with the mission to level the playing field for individual investors. And this is the Raz Report podcast, where we share inspiring stories, expert advice, and exclusive perspectives to keep you ahead of the ever-changing world of investments and entrepreneurship. Let's dive into the show.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Raz Report. I'm with the man himself, Jason Raznick. Today, we're going to be talking about how to get started in investing. We're going to both talk about our own personal journeys in investing. The best part is we're going to bring it to you. We're going to be candid, tell you how we got in, honestly, and that way you guys can help learn from our mistakes as well as our successes in investing. Jason, how are you doing today?
Good. What's up with your desk here, Aaron? Turning blue, green,
it's cool,
hazel.
Isn't it?
I don't know. Kind of distracting for me.
Oh, well, I think it's cool. So if it's too distracting for you, we can turn it off or we can make it one color.
Is this a new thing?
No, we've had it for a while.
Changing colors? Wow.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about this for a second. How initially did you get into stocks? Was this a thing like from your family? Was your dad into stocks? And how early were you when you first, you know, learned about the stock market?
So there was a show called The Nightly Business Report. It was on like public access, like Channel 56, hosted by Paul Kangas. I can't believe I remember that. Every night we get home and dinner, like 6:30, they would have The Nightly Business Report with Paul Kangas. And my brother and dad would listen to him give what stocks moved, what this. And I would see these numbers with fractions, Aaron. A long time ago, the stock market wasn't decimals. It was fractions. So it would say, you know, Chrysler Corporation was up 24 1/8, you know. And it would be these tickers going across. And I would be so annoyed by it. I was like, why, you know, what is this stuff? Eventually, Aaron, when I was probably like, six, I don't know, maybe 15, 14, 16, I was the guy reading the business section, not okay. The sports section.
And this is back when people had to check the paper for stock quotes, right? I mean, you would wait, like the next day, the stock quotes would be in the paper instead of looking it up online.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That's why that show, or you would call, like you'd call your broker. So, you know, financial advisors and roles have changed, money managers, that it's changed a lot, Aaron, over the years. And this was when you would call your guy and say, hey, what's the stock at? What's Disney at? And they would just give you the symbol, DIS. And you would say, you know, and then there was actually a company called Tell Me that they made it like so you can call it and type a symbol in the phone and then it would give you the thing. That's
so
how it was,
like,
man.
16, 17, reading about stocks. I mean, most people don't start becoming interested in things that early. Did you feel like out of place, like weird with your friends, like talking about stocks and they had no clue what you were talking about?
I mean, I always feel out of place, but I was reading the business section about companies more so, but also stocks eventually, 16, 17. And the first stock that I really, really went in on was Apple Computer. They had a computer come out called the iMac. It was this translucent dome on the computer. And so all these computers were these gray big boxes. And I'm like, you know, my argument was, okay, this new little computer, look, you know, it looks cool, looks sexy. Like, are people going to react to it? So about 3 weeks after it launched, I went to a store, I believe it was called CompUSA at the time. And I sat there for 3 hours and I watched how people went through CompUSA. And then I saw when people stopped at the Apple display because these new cool computers, and they stopped, they reacted to it. They liked it. They bought it. And I had a little stock that my grandma gave me. And so I told my dad that I want to buy Apple Computer. So I remember calling this guy who was working with my grandma. And I said, I want to buy Apple, this thing. And Apple was, you know, with all the splits and what it's at now, it was probably at $1, sub $1, right? And I go to call him and go to buy it, Aaron. And I know his name. And he's like, I didn't like Apple. This is, you know, before. So I didn't like Apple at 18. I definitely don't like it at 24, you know. And so instead of me buying 100 shares, the 100 shares, it was like 30. It would have been like $300 is what I was going to spend. So maybe the stock was a little higher. But again, with splits, it was probably right. Below one. But it was like $300. And so I bought 16 shares, right? And because he said he liked Disney way more. I told my dad this story the next day. He's like, Jason, you should buy round lots. Round lot means like 100 shares. Okay. So then I called the financial advisor guy and I bought 84 more shares the next day.
Wow.
So I had 100 shares of Apple for $35 a share.
You never need to work a day, another day in your life.
So I never sold those shares.
But you've never sold those Apples, or you never should have?
I never did. I never did.
You still own those Apple shares?
Yeah, I own the Apple shares. It's not like crazy. I mean, yes, it's up a lot.
So you can see, like, percentage-wise what you're up on that investment?
It says I'm up like 6,800% or more than that, actually. So it's like more than that, it says, actually.
Wow. I didn't know that.
But, well, in that same account, by the way, I, like, bought all these other stocks, like the dot-com era.
Right.
And they all, like, blew up bad. And, okay, sorry.
No, I mean, I wanted to ask about, you know, because obviously around this time,
I'm telling you, this light is new. It definitely was not here before.
You have all this excitement going on with the computers, you know, the dot-com bubble. How much of your infatuation with the market at the time do you think was because of that environment? Or do you think no matter what the year was, you were always going to be interested in stocks?
Well, the Apple computer was because I thought I had a unique insight, like this thing or what, you know, what have you. But then the dot-com era came about.
And everyone was buying.
Everyone. You go into a bar in Michigan. I went to University of Michigan, Aaron, and everyone was talking stocks. I thought I knew more. I did more research. Why I started Benzinga, because I was good at doing research, and I would post on message boards and people would follow me. But yeah, I was all into it. But Aaron, during that era, I had stocks that went way up and I bought more shares. And then I had stocks that you know, went way down. And, you know, I got my fist handed to me during the dot-com era.
So looking back on it, you obviously had success buying Apple, and there's, you know, some lessons to be learned there. You recognize this new technology, this, you know, company that was potentially transformative and ended up working out, you know, also probably made some mistakes back then. Looking back, what were some of those mistakes? What would you have done differently?
Okay, there's a thing called margin. You can go on margin. So when you're buying stocks, you can go on margin. So say you have $30,000 in the market of cash, you could use margin to buy more. So the financial advisor guy, when a couple of my stocks went down a lot, they're like, oh, that's a time dollar cost average and buy more. So I buy more. Now I'm on margin. Okay. So rare medium, RR, 4Rs, I bought it at 48, went to 78. I had 100 shares. And when it went to 78, I bought another 100 shares. So that's 200 shares. I held that stock until it went to like zero, Aaron. Okay, so I had all these stocks that were getting killed on sale, whatever, and I had this margin. So I look at my portfolio. I'm like, which ones have value? Well, there was a company called Amazon, and we'll show this in the B-roll, the trade slip. I think I sold my Amazon for $10 a share, with $2 commissions per share, so like 20%. Now that one that I sold for $300 back then, it would be worth like $1.2 million. If I never sold my Amazon, all the stocks that I got killed in dot-com era would be in the millions, you know, 1.2 million. That's the truth.
So for people that are out there, maybe, you know,
which reminds me, my Apple shares I bought way back. I don't know why that's not more money.
Because if you bought that many shares of Apple back, because they've split so many times.
I know. And if the Amazon would have been 1.2 million, maybe I have those Apple shares sitting in some random account.
Yeah.
I got to look into it. No, I'm not kidding. You know, that happens because this account was like so small. My Amazon shares, we'll put the slip in there because I put it there and I mark it as a favorite in my photo directory. If I ever get too cocky about the market, Aaron, I refer to that but that one would have been like 1.2 million if I never sold.
I'm telling you, if you had those Apple shares and you've never sold them and you bought 100 back then, it should be worth somewhere like that. That's the number one. That's our number one mystery right now. We got to find Jason's missing Apple shares. And when we find that, you guys probably won't see us again on another podcast because we'll be down in Puerto Rico.
Or we could throw a big party.
We
could buy you new golf clubs.
We could.
And golf lessons so you can continue to beat our buddy, Mr. Thomas, over there.
Aaron actually beat me last time we played. But anyway.
Yeah, because you weren't trying.
Anyway. Okay, you mentioned it now. You look at the Amazon trades when you feel like you're getting a little too cocky. What mistakes were you making back then that you still feel like you struggle with today?
It's the trend following. Like the stocks move a lot, then you want to buy. But when the stock market gets killed, you don't want to buy. It's the same thing Warren Buffett will say. Like everyone wants to buy when it's going up. When it's going down, you don't want to buy, right?
Yeah.
And so you're following the herd versus – if you do the research and march to your own drummer, like I did on HubSpot, it's one of the stocks that, you know, I went deep on. I was buying when the stock got hammered, you know, down, and then it goes up. But if you wait for the herd, then you can't really, it's hard to get alpha because you're just following the trend and you're buying high and selling low, you know? And so sometimes we all can get stuck with that. And then the other thing is, it's really hard to know when to sell, Aaron. Like, it's hard. It's hard to know when to sell. Do you just keep them and have your net worth go up? Do you sell? Do you know? And so.
Well, how much active trading are you doing right now versus just holding the stocks you own?
Probably a few trades a week, I would say.
Okay.
I'm also buying stocks that, not all of them, but that produce a dividend. I mean,
and that you plan on just holding for a while.
Yeah. You think about a company, if you're just letting the valuation going up, like if a dividend is part of it, like then you're taking a piece of their income.
Yeah.
You know, like that's, just like I want to bet on people. Like, how cool would it be if I could own a piece of like 10 athletes, and if their pay goes up, then you get a little fee of what they get paid.
That would be very cool. I mean,
there are people I've tried. Yeah, I tried that in college, but there are.
I want to do that for music too. Like, there's this one artist I found. She had less than like 1,000 followers on Twitter when I followed her.
Yep.
And she's a singer, and now her song, like, it's like on like top 10 Spotify. Like, she's blowing up.
Can you give her a shout out?
Dasha, her song is called Austin. Although I will say, I didn't realize this, but I was also a little late on it because her Twitter account was so small, less than 1,000 followers, but she'd already blown up on TikTok. But I don't go on TikTok, so I didn't know that. So I was like telling people, oh, you got to check this out. And everyone's like, yeah, Aaron, like, we've already heard this song. It's all over TikTok. So yeah. I was a little later on it than I thought, but I would still buy stock in Dasha. Okay. Anyway, let's go back to one of your more recent big successes in the market. You were pretty early on Tesla. What was it about the story of Tesla that made you want to get in early? Why did this trade and investment work out for you?
Yeah, and I talk about Tesla all the time. I mean, we had a guy named Spencer Israel here that when I was on the pre-market prep show, I'm like,
hated that guy.
There'll be a Tesla in every single There'll be a Tesla in every single parking lot. And after the show, Spencer's like, you shouldn't like say stuff you don't believe just to be like, you know, hyperbole like Jim Cramer and be big. I'm like, no, I really do believe that. Well, yeah. I think if you look in a parking lot, you'll see there's a Tesla in every parking lot. Okay. Unless there's no cars in the parking lot. But that being said, way back when I had a friend who had a Tesla, me and this other guy got into it, got in the car, and it was the best experience.
So you bought it after you went in the car.
Oh yeah. I bought it after I went in the car. I thought I bought 200, about 100 shares. And that's one of my biggest gains ever.
I think that's go ahead.
And by the way, here's the biggest problem with that. I bought shares, huge, big gain, but I didn't buy more shares for like years. You want to know why, Aaron? This is the dumbest thing ever. And I feel like a lot of people do this. I didn't buy more shares, Aaron, because I wanted to see my big percentage gain. So when you say, Jay, how much are you up on Tesla? What percentage? And I say I'm up 700%. That's cool. Or I'm up 7,000%. That's cool. But if I said I'm only up 42%, it's not as cool. The issue was I buy it really low, and if I bought more shares later, then my percentage gain wasn't as much.
But no one's looking at that percentage gain
It's the absolute dollar was what matters. And so I eventually bought more Tesla. I would have bought more a long time ago, but I wanted to see the percentage gain be big. And so what I ended up doing was open another account, Aaron, where I would buy shares Tesla on another account, so my percentage gain
screw up
my main account. But that's that. Yeah, so Tesla was a big one. And for stocks, I am like, I try to look at trends in the market. The EV market makes sense to me. The Ozempic plays made sense to me. The, 9/11, when that happened, the security plays, I was investing in drones before anyone was talking about drones. I did all the research. Most of the drone companies were private, but there was like this, a couple, General Atomic. There was a couple others that were public. AVAV was one of them. Aaron, you know, and so like, I try to find those niches. And then my biggest weakness, Aaron, is not having the patience. Like, I was short Washington Mutual when Washington Mutual went bankrupt. They were a mortgage company and other things, but I was short 200 shares at $41. Their CEO was Terry Killinger, Aaron. He gets on the conference call. He says, guys, yeah, we had a loss this quarter, but we only lost $1 billion. The analysts, I guess, thought they would lose more. Or no, we took $1 billion write-off.
Okay.
So the stock responded on that day up 7 points, which meant I lost, you know, market, you know, because I was short 200 shares. 7 points times 200 was $1,400. So the next day, I covered my short like at $46. From there on out, you know, over the next year and a half, it went bankrupt. I was not in that for the, I did not participate in the success. I just thought there was BS because they do these option arms, but I didn't stay with my conviction.
Right.
I let the trends and the crowd and this affect me. If I would have stumbled with my what I was thinking, then I would have made a lot of money.
And that's, I think, right there, a big lesson is that if you do have conviction, if you have a thesis, just because the share price might be working against you doesn't mean you necessarily have to. I mean, if you're wrong, you're wrong. And it's better to get out early and admit you're wrong when you're early. But just because, you know, the price goes down and you're long a stock doesn't necessarily mean, you know, to get out. I mean, the famous example is, you know, I hear people say this all the time where it's like, if you would have bought Apple in 1985, you probably would have sold it for an 80% loss, or when it went down 80% 10 years later. So you would have bought Apple in 1985. You look at the chart, it went down more than 80% before it went up. So
really?
Yeah. Wow. I mean, from that, in that stretch. And then, of course, it went down a little bit in the dot-com bubble too. But even before then, from 85 to like 95, the stock was terrible. And that doesn't mean, you know, the company was terrible. It doesn't mean it was never going
to grow. I mean, it's hard to know. Like, Steve Jobs didn't come back, and,
exactly.
It's hard to know. And you try to bet on good companies. One of the reasons Amazon is a position I like is because Jeff Bezos' attitude is like, we're going to be wiped away tomorrow, so we have to keep innovating. You know, he has that, like, that mindset that I like. So that's why.
And going back to your Tesla trade, I mean, you saw the product firsthand. You were in the car and you decided you like it. And I think for a lot of people, that's like a very tangible, easy way to start. And you're not always going to win that way in the market by saying, hey, I like this product, I'm going to buy the stock. But I was actually just talking to my buddy Jack about this. I started seeing...
I'll tell you more about the Tesla trade in a second.
I started seeing these Celsius. I started seeing these Celsius drinks like 3 years ago. And Jack Fox, my buddy, like, he was all over them because it's supposed to be healthier. And he's a in-shape guy, likes to stay in shape. And I was like, when did we first start drinking Celsius? Like 3 years ago. I was like, why didn't we just buy the stock back then? Which is easy to see in hindsight because the stock has gone up so much. And like I said, it's not always going to work out to where whatever product you buy ends up being a great stock. But more times than not, if you find a good product that's like newer and you think it's better than anything else out on the market, it can be worth investing in a little.
I had Celsius and I sold it too early. I would have made some good money. But the other reason my Tesla, why I never sold shares when I was up a bunch, I eventually sold shares. I eventually shed some shares, but it's because I read this book. I read this book by Ashley Vance.
Who's that?
He's the writer of this book. It was originally like unauthorized, but then he got Elon Musk and I read it on a trip. And what Elon Musk had to do to get rockets to go off in the air in the middle of the night because NASA wouldn't let him. It was the greatest book I've ever seen. I'm like, if this guy can pull off rockets, he's gonna be able to pull off this car thing. And I couldn't sell. Like, I was like, okay, I'm in, you know. So I'm in.
Yeah, and I
have to go to the Tesla dealership.
I think historically, like, if you look at the last 20 years, that is a trait of a lot of the best performing companies when they are founder led, right? You talk about Bezos, who obviously led Amazon until Andy Jassy.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, JSSY.
Until Andy Jassy took over a couple years ago, obviously Zuck leading Meta. And I mean, like, so when you find a company that the founder is leading it, the founder's always going to care more than whatever CEO you're just hiring to pay, you know. I mean, there are exceptions, I guess, like the Satya Nadella guy at Microsoft has done amazing. Tim Cook's done pretty well since Steve Jobs had a step down from his cancer in 2011, I think it was. But the founder-led companies, that's a trait that I look for, again, especially for a growing company, because the founder is always going to have more passion.
Well, Elon Musk wasn't the founder of Tesla.
You're right.
He was close to being founder. I mean, he'll tell you that he could have just started from scratch, you know, and he's probably right.
Well,
because they didn't have much going at the time.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, he was as close to being a founder, but yeah.
He wasn't, but he technically is, because he, as part of that, like, deal where he came in and bought those other guys out, he put it into writing that you have to refer to me as the founder. So he calls himself
really?
The founder of Tesla.
Oh, really? Oh, really?
But if you look back at the story, that Tesla had been around for a couple years
before
he came in.
I didn't know that part.
Yeah.
But at Benzinga, I say
that's a good point.
I say we're co-founded every day because the people here, like, today can create, like, for example, this golf podcast that one of my friends was doing at Benzinga, that could be the biggest podcast in the world if he's does it crazy enough. And that
Jason,
would be,
you shouldn't say things that are hyperbolic.
I believe it, actually. That was a great point. So that's, and I have a lot more on stocks and how I find them. I think I would say a few times a year, maybe 2 to 6 times a year, I have positions that I'm like, I need to take big risk on it because I'm fairly, you know, very confident. My, like, where my probability is, like the probability of winning versus losing. My HubSpot position, I put a lot of money in.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, you got to weigh the risk.
I put a lot of money in the HubSpot position. Last week, I had a stock, Viking Therapeutics. I bought some.
Yeah.
And this week, it's up 30%.
Weight loss drugs, baby.
It was unbelievable. It was almost like I had inside info, but I had nothing. It was a doctor. Dude, okay. A doctor mentioned it. So I bought shares of it because of those Ozempic plays, you know? So I'm trying to find it. It goes back to my history of, like, finding the derivative plays of what's going on. So you don't necessarily find the biggest one, but you're looking at security and you look at drones, or when 9/11 happened, all the security companies that the scanning of luggage. So what I did was, there was a company called Envision. I think it was INVN. They were on the America. They didn't have options on the stock. I didn't have much money. So I called American Stock Exchange. Can we get options on Envision? Long story short, Envision sold to GE several years later. And that was went from 40 to like 80 and sold. And that was that was me doing the research, finding derivative plays. And that's what Viking Therapeutics was to me.
The derivative,
VKTX. And I'm still long VKTX, for fair disclosure, and Tesla.
The derivative plays, you know, finding the things like behind whatever trends are going on. And like, you can often find stocks that aren't. And like right now, everyone's talking about AI and robotic stocks and stuff like that. But if you can find the stocks that are, you know, kind of behind it, or maybe not where everyone's looking, there's a lot of times a lot of opportunity there. So that's another lesson, I think, for people that are getting into it. Don't just focus on the stocks that everyone's already talking about, right? The NVIDIAs,
right?
Et cetera.
Find the other opportunities.
Other opportunities, yep.
Yep.
All right. Well, we've been going for about 20 minutes. This is going to be part one of our series of how to invest, how to get into investing. Again, go to benzinga.com. You can learn so much there on, you know, where to get started, which brokerage to choose, et cetera, as well as keeping up with the daily news. I see Dustin over there publishing. So we publish so many articles a day about the stock market.
And feel free to Google Aaron Bree, B-R-Y. He writes great content on Benzinga. There's great content. He may be involved in a new podcast soon, and he does a great job. So I appreciate you talking about stocks, and I make a lot of mistakes.
And we're going to learn from them.
And we're going to learn from them. And then I got to get you the print screen of my Amazon trade, which was unbelievable.
We got to find those Apple shares first and foremost.
Yeah, because
like, I want a finder's fee. If I look for them, I want, let's say, 5% of them.
That's fair.
Okay.
So if it's a million, you get 50,000.
If that's 5% of a million, I'm not good at math. I'm just kidding. I am. It is.
All right.
50,000.
Deal. Shake on it.
All right.
Thank you.
I'm going to call every brokerage in the country. And
well,
say,
I remember who it was with. I have the slip from the Amazon thing. So we're going to have to look at this up. We're going to figure this out. All right.
All right.
All right. Peace.
Peace and love, y'all. Smash the like.